Well, good morning again. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 3, and before we get too far along here, we'll pray. I'll go ahead and do that. Father, what a privilege it is to stand in for Pastor today. I really pray, Lord, that you are just supernaturally leading, guiding, and directing them, and I pray that everything there is a true blessing to them, and you get them back here safely on the time appointed, and just thank you so much for them and for taking care of them. Father, today there's a sermon to be preached, and I've been chosen to do it, and you know that me and you have gotten together on this, but truly, Lord, for the folks here to get anything out of it, I pray that you'd show up today, and your spirit would be the only one working within these walls, and that the things that are said today would be the things that you want said, and that there'd be a liberty of that spirit to work in the hearts of everyone here to put out of mind the things of the world and the things of their life right now. And just, they're already here, Lord. I just pray that they would put their just a little bit of attention in the things that are said and make some applications in their heart and leave here today knowing they heard from God and not Randy and be better for it. Oh, I pray that you'd accomplish that today. In Jesus' name, amen. This may be more applicable to senior saints, but how many of y'all were schooled in a public school? Look at all the hands. Look at all that. Okay, I won't make the homeschoolers raise their hands, but I want to tell you something. Being raised in public school, when I was raised in public school, I was homeschooled also. I learned a lot of things at home. Let me just name a few. My mother taught me to appreciate a job well done. There's one. She said, if you're going to kill each other, do it outside. I just finished cleaning. My mother taught me a lot about religion. She said, you better pray that comes out of the carpet. My father taught me a lot about time travel. He said, if you don't straighten up, I'm going to knock you into the middle of next week. My father taught me a lot about logic. He said, because I said so, that's why. My mother taught me more logic. If you fall out of that swing and break your neck, you're not going to the store with me. My mother taught me about foresight. Make sure you wear clean underwear in case you're in an accident. How many of y'all got that? Yeah. My father taught me about irony. Keep crying and I'll give you something to cry about. Yeah. My mother taught me about the science of osmosis. Shut your mouth and eat your supper. My mother taught me about contortionism. These are big words. Just you look at the dirt on the back of your neck. My mother taught me about stamina. You sit there until all that spinach is gone. Okay. My mother taught me about weather. This room of yours looks like a tornado went through it. My mother taught me about hypocrisy. If I told you once, I've told you a million times, don't exaggerate. My father taught me about the circle of life. I brought you into this world, and I can take you out. My mother taught me about envy. There are millions of less fortunate children in this world who don't have wonderful parents like you do. My mother taught me about anticipation. You just wait till you get home. My mother taught me about receiving. You're going to get it from your father when you get home. My mother taught me about medical science. If you don't stop crossing your eyes, they're going to get stuck that way. How many of y'all have that? Yeah. My mother taught me about ESP. ESP. Put your sweater on. Don't you think I know when you're cold? My father taught me about humor. When that lawnmower cuts off your toes, don't come running to me. My mother taught me how to become an adult. If you don't eat your vegetables, you'll never grow up. My mother taught me about genetics. You're just like your father. My mother taught me about my roots. My roots. Shut that door behind you. Do you think that you were born in a barn? My mother taught me about wisdom. When you get to be my age, you'll understand. Yeah. My father taught me about justice. One day you'll have kids, and I hope they turn out just like you. It says on the bottom, this should only be sent to the 60 and over crowd because the younger ones won't believe that we truly were told exactly these words. Yeah. How many of y'all were told some of that word? But look at this. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Deuteronomy chapter 3. We're going to talk about something today. You know, you've heard a lot of teaching, good teaching on, you know, prayer and the hindrances of prayer. Things that will get in the way of getting your prayers to, in the ear of God, or getting God to answer your prayers. And we're not going to go over any of that. We know that God answers prayer. Can we all agree on that one? And I don't have to do any Bible lesson on that. And there's another thing about prayer. God answers prayer, and he answers it yes. He answers it no. And maybe sometimes he says not now. Okay? Can we all agree with that? Oh, we're in agreement now. You know, my first daughter, which is now 42 years old, when she was young and right after she began to talk, one of the first full sentences she could put together is she would look me straight in the eye and she'd say, Daddy, I don't yike nose. I don't yike nose. You know what? I imagine she still says that today, and there's a lot of us, we don't like no's. I don't know how many of y'all have prayed different things over your life, and the answer came back as a no. God does say no, and what we're going to look at today, he has said no to some great men in this Bible. And so if God has said no to you, you're in good company. But the thing I got to think about, the thing that led me to this, is the fact that truly in my life, I believe he's told me no way more than yes, okay? I guess it's because of what I ask, but I get a lot more no's than yeses. And so truly there ought to be something that I get out of getting no's that I can put to use and glorify God with. So today's sermon is When God Says No, What a Great Opportunity We Have. What a great opportunity we have. The first one we'll look at here is in Deuteronomy chapter 3, we'll look at verse 23. This is Moses, and he is recounting something that went on with him and the Lord. And he says, And I besought the Lord at that time, saying, O Lord God, thou hast begun to show thy servant thy greatness, thy mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or earth that can do according to thy works, according to thy might? I pray thee, let me go over and see the good land that is beyond the Jordan, that goodly mountain in Lebanon. You see, we're going to look at it. He had struck that old rock, and God said, you're not going in. And he's praying now that maybe God change his mind. Verse 26, But the Lord was wroth with me for your sakes and would not hear me. And the Lord said unto me, Let it suffice thee. Look at this. Speak no more unto me of this matter. Now, I've never had that one. But I've had just as clear as he was talking to me a no. But Moses was a friend of God. Moses had quite a relationship. He had a relationship with God that I could never even begin to have. And God didn't have a problem telling him not only no, but let it suffice. You know, when Maureen says I ought to have a Randy version of the Bible, okay, because in there it would have been, shut up. Don't talk to me anymore about this. But suffice means, you know, to be satisfied with it. But Moses got a definite no there, and God made it really clear that he didn't want to hear it anymore, which makes me think Moses did a lot of praying about this. This isn't the first time Moses asked God to let him go into the promised land. He thought maybe he could change God's mind. Let's look back in Numbers chapter 20. We're going to look at a few verses today. Numbers chapter 20 is when this problem occurred in Moses' life. Verse 7, 27. It says, And the Lord spake to Moses, saying, Take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron, thy brother, and speak ye to the rock. before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, and thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord, as he commanded him, and Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them, Hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice, and the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, Because ye believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. This is the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel strove with the Lord, and he was sanctified in them. That day, Moses made a mistake. Got any takers? Anybody in here made a mistake besides me? Sure. Moses made a mistake, and it was a big enough mistake that God declared his judgment right there and said, you're not going into the promised land. I can just imagine, maybe after the shock got over, I don't know how many days it was, but I can just imagine that Moses started praying sincerely. Lord, he was probably confessing, saying, I know I messed up. I really want to go in that promised land. I really want to go. You know, look what he's been through. Look what he's been through with those people. And I believe, because we're going to look at it, I believe that that Moses had talked to God before and changed his mind. Look in Exodus 32. You see, that's the thing about our prayer life, is we pray knowing that, you know what, God can say yes and God can say no, and God can say, let's say I'm taking you to Exodus 32. God can say maybe not now, but God does change his mind. God will change his mind. Let's look at a case of it right here. Exodus 32, verse 7. This is when Moses is up on Mount Sinai with the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, Get thee down, for thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them, and have made them a molten calf, and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto, and said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. Boy, God just changed the plan there. Okay? Verse 11, And Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why does thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, For mischief did he bring them out, to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth. Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. Now, I've talked to God pretty sternly, but I don't think I've ever gotten his face like that. But Moses was able. He was a friend of God. He spoke to him as face to face. Verse 13, he said, Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thine own self, and saidest to them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I've spoken up I will give to your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord repented. That means he changed. He turned. The Lord repented of this evil which he brought to do against his people. See, Moses had an example where he had actually prayed and got with God and got hold of God and got something changed. So, you know, I imagine that he had the thought that if I get with God enough on this, that my importunity, which you read about in Luke chapter 18, and misapply it, he got on God's bad side for asking too many times. God said no, and he kept asking, and he kept asking. You know, he didn't have a problem either with playing it pretty straight with the Lord. Go to Numbers chapter 11. Numbers chapter 11, verse 11. Or look in verse 10. We'll start there. Numbers 11, verse 10. Then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families and every man in the door of his tent. And the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly, and Moses also was displeased. And Moses said unto the Lord, Wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant, and wherefore have I found not found favor in thy sight, that thou hast laidest the burden of all this people upon me. Look at this. Have I conceived all this people? Have I begotten them, that thou should say unto me, carry them in thy bosom as a nursing father beareth the sucking child unto the land which thou swearest unto their fathers? Whence should I have flesh to give all this people? For they weep unto me, saying, give us flesh that we may eat. I am not able to bear all this people because of this burden is this, because it is too heavy for me. And if thou dealest thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of thy hand. If I have found favor in thy sight, let me not see my wretchedness. Boy, he didn't have a problem just getting right up straight with the Lord about his problems. I've been there. I've been in situations where I talked to God probably how I shouldn't have, and thank God for his long suffering and mercy. But I know, and in this sermon, lesson, whatever you want to call it, I searched real hard because I wanted to give you some good illustrations. But every illustration of these kind of things that's in my life is none of your business. And so my prayer is that the Holy Spirit is going to deal with you accordingly in each one of these sections of the sermon. What we've got here is we've got a man of God that has, for the most part of his life, done everything he could do to obey God and to fulfill the will of God and to serve God. And God has taken care of him. And just like any other relationship, they've spent a lot of time together. And that's why he was considered a friend of God. They got where they really knew each other. And I imagine Moses was able to talk to God a little bit different than maybe I could talk to. But the thing being said is Moses had this kind of a long relationship with the Lord God Almighty. And he figured that if he prayed long enough and hard enough, and he asked often enough, that God would change his mind and let him go into the promised land. But God said no. He said no to Moses. Now, I got to thinking about that. You know, there's a lot of prayers in my life that I try to use some of that for, unsuccessfully. You know, Lord, I've been a good boy. And Lord, I know it doesn't look like that ought to happen, but man, I'd really like that. And I've done it in my own way, and I'm seeing a few heads shake. That it's human nature, and it's really not unbiblical to keep asking God if you really want something, because he says, ask me, okay? The only way you're going to receive is ask. And so we do those things, but the problem is when he says no, what normally happens? We get offended. We get angry. We get bitter. We get mad. I can guarantee you there's people that should be in these seats this morning that have had a problem where maybe they only think that God said no. He may have said not now. But they've taken that as an offense and they're mad because they asked God for something and he didn't give it. And then we make fun of the little 2-year-old at the line at HEB that's making a tenter tantrum there because they want the candy bar that's right there put exactly at their eye height, the temptation. But we're the same thing. We get mad because we're told no. I want you to go to Numbers 27. This account of him being told to go up on the mountain and that he was going to die and that God told him no and you're not going in, so go look and whatever you see, it's in your Bible a couple of times, but I want to go to Numbers 27 because I want you to see something how Moses reacted to that, because that's where we need to learn about when God says no. That's when you learn something. Okay, that's when you learn something. Moses, let's see, look in Numbers 27 in verse 12. And the Lord said unto Moses, this is another account of where we started. And the Lord said unto Moses, get thee up to this Mount Abram, and see the land which I have given to the children of Israel. And when thou hast seen it, thou shalt also be gathered unto thy people as Aaron thy brother was gathered. For ye rebelled against my commandment in the desert of Zin, in the strife of the congregation, to sanctify me at the water before their eyes. That is the water of Meribath in Kadesh in the wilderness of Zin. So we're talking about the same episode here. Look what Moses said after God reminded him, no. And Moses spake unto the Lord, saying, let the Lord God of all the spirits of flesh set a man over the congregation, which may go out before them, and which may go in before them, which may lead them out, and which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have no shepherd. And the Lord said unto Moses, take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man whom is their spirit, and lay thy hand upon him. And he set him before Eleazar the priest, and before all the congregation, and give him a charge in their sight. And thou shalt put some of thine honor on him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be content. And when he shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall ask counsel for him after the judgment of Urim, before the Lord, at his word shall they go out, and at his word they shall both come in, both he and all the children of Israel with him, even all the congregation. And Moses did as the Lord commanded him, and he took Joshua and set him before Eleazar the priest and before the congregation, and he laid his hand upon him and gave him a charge as the Lord commanded him by the hand of Moses. Yeah, I can't say that I would have done that. When he told me no, in no uncertain terms, no, and I don't want to hear about it anymore, I probably would have got a little pouty. Moses' first response is, he had compassion for those children of Israel. And he said, if I'm not going, then you need to put a man that's going to take care of them. What compassion. That reminds me of the compassion the Lord had when he looked upon Jerusalem as he came in. And he said, they look as sheep with having no shepherd. There was a compassion there that blessed him and blessed God. I got to thinking many times back in my days of owning businesses. We had a plumbing company and we had a steamatic carpet cleaning company, which is, you know, we did emergency work only. We cleaned carpets. That was daily stuff. But if there was a big thunderstorm or a big cold front coming through, I would have guys on standby because there's certain parts of South Texas that are going to flood and that we're going to get the call and we're going to need to go on a moment's notice to go get some water out of somebody's house. And we had plumbers also, and you know, of course, when it freezes down here and everybody has plastic pipes, boom, the phone rings. And so we would tell them also to be on call at different times, and because we weren't a big outfit, everybody was on call for everybody. So there was times when it didn't matter if you needed off, and it didn't matter if you were on call last weekend, we needed you now. And I had employees that were with me, you know, 20 years. I wasn't like Moses. I had, you know, Moses has been there 40 years, you know, or more. And so I can imagine, it never happened, but I can imagine, I'm picturing the guy that worked for me the longest, just faithful, never a problem of any kind, just was faithful to the company and the whole bit. And I can imagine if he would have came into me and said, you know, I know you want everybody standing by this weekend to be on call because we got X, Y, and Z, but I have planned an event and I need to go to it and I can't do that. And if I would have told him, well, you got a problem, I don't, because I need you to be on call, and that's where I got to stay. I can't imagine that employee now going out into the shop and encouraging all the other employees that they ought to be on call and strengthening them and telling them to trust in the employer. Can you imagine that? No. Moses did something that was very extraordinary, and I believe that has a lot to do with why he's a friend of God. He got told no probably harder than any of us. And he took it like a man. And this is the point that goes through this whole sermon. You know, I hedge all agree with me that God answers prayer. Okay? Here's another one. Is God righteous? Let's try again. I like more amens to go into the recording. Is God righteous?
Amen.
Yes. Then I got to believe that everything God does or thinks is right. Okay, so if God says no, right answer. So as we go through the rest of this, that's the first thing that we need to remember. God is right when he says no. Moses got that. It took him a while. He asked and asked up to the last minute. But when God finally said, I don't want to hear this anymore, he said, fine, you're right, I'm wrong. And he was in. the point of the thing is, you know, we need to remember that when God tells us no, that is when you have a moment to show God exactly how much you love and trust Him. You know, God understands at that moment, you know, it's that same old thing, character, your character is defined about how you, what you do when nobody's looking. Okay? Your love is defined what you do when God tells you no. Do you flip-flop on the floor, throw a tantrum, or do you get up and say, God, you're right. I don't understand it, and I don't have to understand it. God is always right, and when God tells us no, we have a great opportunity, a great, great opportunity to show Him how much we love and trust Him. Does that make sense? So Moses was one of the big shots. He got told no. Let's look at another one. Go to 2 Samuel chapter 12. We're in good company. Second Samuel chapter 12. A familiar story. You've got the sin that David had committed with Bathsheba and Uriah the Hittite. And then God sends the prophet Nathan, and Nathan puts his finger in David's face and tells him, thou art the man. And we're going to pick up the story in verse 13. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord has put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. Because David just happened to commit the only two sins that there were, the payment was for death. He didn't show up with a lamb and try to get out of those two. Verse 14, howbeit, because this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. Here's the judgment. The child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. And Nathan departed unto his house, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto Nathan, unto David, and it was very sick. David therefore besought the God for the child. And David fasted and went in and laid all night upon the earth. And the elders of his house arose and went to him to raise him up from the earth, but he would not, neither did he eat bread with them. And it came to pass on the seventh day that the child died. And the servants of David feared to tell him that the child was dead, for they said, behold, while the child was yet alive, we spake unto him, and he would not hearken to our voice. How will he then vex himself if we tell him that the child is dead? Verse 19, but when David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said unto the servants, is the child dead? And they said, he is dead. Can you imagine? God told David no. It says in verse 16, David therefore besought God for the child. When sometimes there's a lot of stuff between these lines in that Bible. Here's a man that has been, he was a man after God's own heart. Another one of these guys that had a relationship with God that none of us will ever be able to even get close to. But he's been told by God that that child that's been conceived by your sin is going to die. And so he goes to the Lord and he besought the Lord for God for the child. If you've read any of the Psalms, I can just imagine David did some praying. What do you think? And I can't imagine, I'm thankful that I can't, the shame and the guilt that David must have been carrying at that point when that child has been stricken and is very sick and he knows the judgment of God, that that child is going to die and the reason is him. That is a huge, I can't imagine that burden. I can probably liken it to maybe some of these young ladies that are drug addicts and then they conceive and now they're carrying a child and that child is going to be born with the same issues. And some of those children are born deformed. Some of them are born dead and all those things. I can see a likeness there, but I can't in my heart grasp the shame and the grief that's in that kind of a decision. I pray to God that I never do anything that would cause that. I can imagine someone that may be a drunk driver, and isn't it always the case that the drunk driver has a wreck and the car they ran into, a family of four has been killed and the drunk driver's alive, and have to live with that? It's unimaginable in my heart. So I can just consider how hard God, that David prayed. He fasted. He would not eat. He wouldn't respond to anybody trying to help him because he had one chore on his mind, and that was to get with God and change his mind and not get a no, but get a yes. And God gave David a no. God gave David a no. Look at the next verse. Verse 20, then David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his apparel and came into the house of the Lord and worshiped. Wow. You know, when God tells you no, you got a great opportunity to show him how much you love him. When God told David no, he took advantage of a great opportunity to worship him, to thank him and praise him. Thank him. You know, that Bible that's in your lap, it says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We are supposed to be in a position that when God tells us no, we are supposed to thank him for that no. Now, I'm sure there's some of you that there's a country and western star that had a song thanking God for unanswered prayer. Okay, I don't want the lyrics to come back to you too much, but really, truly, if you look at the lyrics of the song, he's thanking God for a no. Okay, he got an answer to his prayer. The answer was no. And so getting to a point in your life where that you can actually thank God when he tells you no is... To tell you the truth, I haven't completely attained that, but it's something I need to shoot for. Because if God loved anybody, he loved Moses. And if God loved anybody, he loved David. And he didn't have a problem telling them no real clearly. And they both did correct things after that. There's something to be learned from being told no. Something from being told no. So it's a great opportunity to worship God. Let's look at another one. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I know it's kind of quiet in here. And I really pray that the Spirit of God is really showing you that every time he slapped your hand and said no, he did it because he loves you. And there's a way to return that love in the way that we react to these no's. Okay, Moses was a friend of God and David was a man after God's own heart, we're going to look at Paul, and he was a chosen vessel. Okay, Paul had a relationship with God. Wow, he's Mr. Christian. You know, Paul didn't learn his Bible by men teaching him. He learned it by revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul, we're going to look in chapter 12. If I quit talking, I get there. We're going to look at chapter 12, the first part of the chapter. God actually took him to the third heaven, showed him things that were unspeakable. Okay, pretty good. Has anybody else had that relationship with God? No. That's quite a deal. But God didn't have a problem telling him no either. Okay, let's look in verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations there was given unto me, a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasures in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. God told Paul, no. No, no. Once again, he's got a thorn in his flesh, and there's lots of debate on what that is. Some say that it, you know, when he was on that road to Damascus, when he was struck blind, that God didn't completely heal his vision totally, and he was partially blind. Part of the reason is at the end of the letter of Galatians, he told them, look at how large a letter I've written. Well, Galatians is one of the shortest letters he wrote. He probably meant in size, because he couldn't see. That's one theory. I mean, the no one actually tells us. Another theory that I've heard preach, if you do some cross references on thorn in the side or thorn in the flesh, you're going to find out that when God told Israel to go into the promised land, he said, if you leave any of them, they're going to be thorns in your sides. And so that thorn in the flesh of Paul could have been a person. How many of y'all have got, no, everybody start looking at their spouse and here we go. No. It very well could have been a person that is just, I mean, everywhere he went, he was stoned and imprisoned and treated bad. And somebody could have been the one pointing this out to the authorities and getting him in trouble. I don't know. But he had a thorn in his flesh. And Paul, you know, I believe Moses probably had a way of talking with God that I'll never have. David wrote some psalms and talked to God in ways that I would never do it. What do you think those three petitions that Paul threw up to the Lord to get rid of that thorn in the flesh? I mean, there's some sentences in Ephesians that go for a full chapter. You know, there's not a period. You know, he can be pretty wordy and pretty convincing. And I imagine he made some strong arguments to the Lord for this thorn in the flesh. I imagine that he said, Lord, you know, without this thorn in the flesh, just think of what I could get done for you. Think of how many more churches we could start. I mean, he probably, like we do, can come up with all kinds of justification for why God should do something that God said no. But God didn't have a problem. He didn't care if that was Paul or anybody else. He said no. This time he said no to Paul, but he gave him an explanation. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. You know, when God says no to us, it's a great opportunity to receive some grace. Now, I got to thinking about that, and I know that it's true. Paul said that he'd rather have the grace of God and keep that thorn in the flesh. And not only keep it, I'll take the infirmities, I'll take the distresses, I'll take all the other stuff, because that grace is better than that. And if I gotta pay that to get the grace, sign me up. I haven't attained that, okay? But like I've said before, I've been in a position, you know, this time last year, I was a walking example of the rabid, flesh-eating eczema guy. I had that stuff from head to toe in places where I can't even tell you I had it. And it was vicious. And I was miserable. And it messed with my spirit. And I understand, did I pray to God that he would take this away from me and give it to Milton? I did. More than three times. And he told me no. But I do understand that a lot of y'all were praying for me. And I hear it on Wednesday nights in here very, very often. We take praise reports. We praise God. I can't remember the last time I got a praise for a no from God. But we get a lot of praises for the yeses. And praises, and a lot of times it's this. I just want to praise God and thank this church family because I felt their prayers. What you felt was the unmerited favor of God. You felt the grace of God. And I don't know how to explain it. I didn't itch less. I didn't hurt less. But it was very different when people prayed and I knew that I was receiving the grace of God. And I see some heads shaking in the rooms. My prayer is that you never get to a point where that you need the grace of God in that condition. But Paul understood this grace of God to a point that is far beyond me. But I want to tell you that it's true. That a no from God turns on the grace faucet. Now you're able to get some grace to replace whatever you may need. There's a perfect verse in your Bible. It says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Listen to this. That we may obtain mercy and find help in time of need. Not healing in time of need. Not pain relief in time of need. Help. And see, grace, that throne of grace, when you go to that throne of grace, God's told you no. I know many of us, and we have six folk in this church. And if you're not sick here today, go ahead and make plans. Everybody gets some, okay? And when you get there, you're going to be pleading for God to heal you, okay? You have not because you ask not. So your first choice is, I want to be healed. But there comes a point in this deal where God may be saying no, no. And when he says no, our first response every time is to get mad and get pouty. And what we ought to be doing is getting glad that God is now going to give you some grace to be able to walk through that walk that you've got to walk. And I'm looking at some faces and I've seen some of y'all walk through those walks. And it's a blessing to me to see the power of God and the grace of God rest on you and see you be able to endure and walk through something and get to the end of it and thank God for it. It's as strange as it can be. Don't try preaching this on the street. They won't believe you. But it's true. It's true. Paul knew it and Paul experienced it. And when you get a no, you've got an experience, a great opportunity to experience the grace of God. Think about it. If God said yes all the time, where would we be? We'd be the biggest spoiled bunch of no good sorries, and there would be no God's grace in all of that. Okay? One more and we'll stop. We've got Moses. He was a friend of God. We got David. He was a man after God's own heart. We got Paul, wrote 14 books of your Bible that's in your lap. He was a chosen vessel of God. We got one more. Turn to Matthew 26. We'll start in verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them to a place called Gethsemane, and saith to the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then he saith unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. He went a little further and he fell on his face and he prayed, saying, O Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh to the disciples and find them asleep and said unto Peter, what, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away and prayed the third time, saying the same words. This is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, his beloved Son. And God told him, no. God told Jesus Christ, no. You know, I don't know. Once again, I thought of personal illustrations through this whole thing where God affected me and showed me each one of these points, and it's still just as true as when I started. It's none of your business. But You know, I don't know if there's anybody in here that has ever had to just take one for the team. You know the expression? Has anyone in here ever been falsely accused of something and you just ended up taking it? You know, Peter talks about that in his letter, that, you know, if you take something for something you really did, well, that's okay. But if you actually, you take it and endure something for something you didn't do, God even gets more pleasure out of that. And so I've thought of some things in my life that, I just, because of the way it was, I just had to take it. I had to take it. And I know that pleases God. I know what Jesus Christ did on that cross pleases God. I tried to think of, of course, no one in here has ever taken anything like that. But let's just imagine for a second just the death of the cross. Okay? I cannot imagine being, beaten and scourged as he was, and then in that condition being nailed to a wooden cross. I can't imagine that. And on top of that, you know, add insult to injury, he's doing that because of us. There's nothing he did to deserve that. It's all for us. And he prayed, in another book it says his tears were as of blood. You think he put in a prayer to God three times about if this cup can pass from me, but not thy will, my will, but thy will be done? And God told his own son no. Thank God he told him no. Because of that no, you see, there's opportunity every time God says no. You know, in Moses, we have a great opportunity, the way Moses handled it, to show God how much we love and trust him. The way David handled it, we've got a great opportunity to praise him and thank him for that no. You know, the way Paul shows us is that no is a way to get some of that God's grace. But that no that Jesus Christ took enables us to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. A relationship that none of us could have except for that no. He stayed on that cross and he died and he paid for my sins. And because of that no, we can all sit in here today knowing that we're children of God, that we have eternal life and all of that. All because of a no. Imagine that. There are some great things that can come from when God says no. When God says no. The Bible says, not by our works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Yeah. We, you know, for us that are in here to save today, you know, because of that no, we got to take part of the greatest gift of all. But if you're in here today and you haven't received Jesus Christ, you haven't been born again, you haven't acknowledged that you need a Savior and you're lost, today you have an opportunity to receive that gift. You really do. I don't know, has anybody in here ever been told no? Okay, we're in good company. And we're in good company with these four. They were told no. You get a chance to prove your love for God, worship and thanksgiving and praise, experience the grace of God, and have a relationship with him. Wow. Is there some great opportunities when God says no? Good. Bow your heads and we'll thank God for this. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to be able to preach this sermon, Lord. It's a vital truth in that book of yours that what great opportunities we have when God says no. I pray that you're able to do a work right now in the hearts, the minds, and the consciousness of the folks that are here right now. I know you've told us all no. I pray, Lord, that from now on that we'll look for the opportunities that come from the most no's and praise you for them. But I really, above all of that, Lord, I don't want anyone in this room that's not saved to leave here today without being saved. I really pray that there's anyone in this crowd that you'd speak to them right now about their need for a Savior And Father, I just, is there anyone in here that is not saved? You know what the Holy Spirit's telling you. He's talking about you. And if you'd raise your hand right now, I would love to just spend about 5 minutes after this service and show you in the Bible what Jesus Christ has done for you so that you can decide what you want to do with Jesus Christ. Is there anybody like that? If you just raise your hand, I'm not going to point you out. I'm not going to make a big deal about it. I just want to know who it is so you can come to me after church and we can make sure that everybody that walks out of those doors when we say amen is a born-again child of God and that the grace of God is laying on you right now. I just pray, is there anyone like that? Would you raise your hand? Okay. Well, I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to preach today. I thank you for this message, and it's blessed me, and I pray that it's a blessing for the folks here. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.